You open it up with me to the book of Mark, Mark chapter number 10. Mark chapter number 10. We've been looking at the book of Mark for some time, just going verse by verse through it, and boy, it's been good, it's been a blessing. And today we're going to begin reading in verse number 13, Mark chapter 10 and verse 13. It says, "And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, and put his hands upon them, and bless them." Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us. Lord, for giving us another day and giving us the breath of life to come and worship you. God, I thank you for each one that you've sent this way today. And Lord, I don't know how it is with each of them, but God, I pray that you'd work in their hearts. Lord, you said in your scriptures that if we prayed for the Holy Ghost, you'd give him to us. And Lord, we pray for him today to move amongst us. Lord, to just fill this place with your presence, that we know that we've met with God today. Lord, we love you and we praise you for your goodness and mercy toward us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we see in this text just an interesting story, how that these parents or grandparents or whoever it was had some children and brought them to Jesus. Now, what these parents knew was that Jesus could bless their children. They knew that their children needed to be around him, and that it would be better for them had they met him and had they known him, and if he could touch them and lay hands on them. And what we see them doing is our own duty to be bringing people to Christ. We need to bring our children to Christ. If you've been blessed to have little ones, you know what the best thing you could ever do for them is to bring them to the feet of Jesus and put them under His gospel. We need to bring our parents to the Lord. We need to bring our grandparents to Jesus. Our cousins, our brothers, our sisters, our neighbors, our co-workers. We need to bring families to the Lord. And the only thing we can do is bring them to His feet and trust Him to bless them. But we also have to bring them to Jesus believing that He is the answer for them. You know what Jesus can do for them? He can do for them what they cannot do for themselves. Everybody in life today is looking for happiness. Everybody in life today is looking to be fulfilled. I want to be happy, amen? I want to be satisfied. I want to live a life that I feel is full of meaning and full of purpose. And I want to feel like what I'm doing is worthwhile. And we do all those things, but I want to tell you something, that searching for those things in anybody else or anything else than Jesus Christ, you will find that you'll be sadly disappointed. Money cannot satisfy that need for you. Your job cannot do it. Your success cannot do it. Pleasures of this world cannot do it. Your spouse cannot do it. None of those things will satisfy what the hand of God in your life will do. You know, Jesus can do for them what you can't do for them. You know, sometimes we try to solve everybody's problems. And we try to fix every situation that somebody has. And we know what's ailing them. Man, if we can get them to do this, or we can get them to do that. Folks, what we need to do as individuals, and what we need those around us to do, is to fall madly in love with Jesus Christ, and that will solve all of our problems. It'll solve all of our desires and all of our wants and needs. He is the answer to what is ailing you and what is ailing your loved ones. And these people understood that. They brought these children to Jesus and knew and believed that He was the answer. You know, I wonder why today more of us don't bring more people to Jesus. And I think probably the answer is because we don't really believe He is the answer to all things. He is the end. He's not a means to an end. He is the end in and of Himself. It's all about Him. And if our lives were consumed by Him, and if our lives were fulfilled by Him, we would be bringing people to Him. You know, if we knew other things, you know, I see people all the time, we talk about a ton of things. We talk about the weather. We talk about sports. We talk about business. We talk about family. But how often do we talk about the Lord with people and what He's doing in our lives and how He's speaking to us and how He's real to us and how we're intimate with Him and how He's moving in our lives? If He was, and we shared that with people, then they'd want what we had. You know, tonight we're going to be looking in the Proverbs. We're preaching on Sunday nights on the Proverbs, and we're going to be looking at the Scripture. A good name is worth more than all the fine treasure in the world. And talking about a reputation, and we need to have a reputation that we love the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says that they were first called Christians at Antioch. Somebody else called them a Christian. They didn't call themselves Christians. Someone else called them that. And we need to be consumed with Him. And just in love with Him. And people know that, and we bring in people to Him. You know, as they brought their children to Jesus, that He would touch them, the disciples discouraged this act. They said, hey, get the children away from Jesus. He's busy doing important things. Y'all are here bringing these children to Him. Get them away. Don't bother Him with things like this. And there are times where we don't want to bring people to Jesus because of our own thoughts and actions. You know, it's a sad thing today, but there's a lot of folks and a lot of churches in America that are full of racist people. And they don't want to bring people to Jesus because of the color of their skin. What a terrible thing that would be if that would be one of us. If we didn't want somebody to come and get under Jesus' feet because they was a skin color different than ours. And I know it goes both ways. I know how this thing works. But we ought not ever let that keep us from bringing people to Christ. You know, there's other churches today that experience what I like to call class. You know, you hear it in the media called class warfare. Well, they have class warfare at church. In other words, they some churches where all the rich folks go, and they some churches where all the poor folks go, and that ought not be the case. We ought not ever look at nobody and say they don't look like church people. You know, I've told you this story before, but I was out knocking on doors and inviting people to church and wanting to come in, and I was in a trailer park, and it was a circle trailer park, and there was these people out. It was like a cul-de-sac with these trailers, and this one trailer that would be the last trailer I went to, the people that were living there were outside, and I looked over there and I said, I'm not going to go over there. They don't look like they're going to come to church. They don't look like church people. And I knocked on the first door, and by the time I had got to the second door, God had convicted my heart and said, you let me worry about who looks like church people or not. You need to go over there. And I went over there, and they didn't end up coming. But the point is I let my bias, my personal thoughts think, they're not going to come, or maybe I shouldn't go over there, or whatever the case may be. We should never let things like that keep us from inviting people to church and bringing them to Jesus and sharing with them the good news. You know, Jesus died for everybody. And we're all together tonight and today as brothers and sisters in Christ with one common denominator, that we were all sinners. We sang that song, my sins, which were many, are all washed away. And that was every one of us. And the common denominator is Jesus today. It don't matter the color of your skin or how much money is in your pocket. And then sometimes we're guilty of ageism. I invented that word today. I don't think it's a real word, but ageism. You know, I'm guilty sometimes of when kids want to get saved, I'm skeptical, you know. Well, did they really believe, or whatever the case may be? We just got to let them come to Jesus. I don't care if they're 5 years old, 7 years old, Sometimes I think in church we think that 12 is the age or something, and that's the time when they can come to the Lord. They can come to the Lord whenever the Holy Spirit convicts them and draws them and they believe in Him. And what we need to do is not say somebody's too young or they don't understand enough. You don't got to understand a whole lot to be saved other than the fact that you're a sinner and Jesus died for you and put your faith in that. And sometimes we keep kids from coming to the Lord because we think they don't understand enough or believe enough. Just let it happen and let God sort those things out. But then the disciples in their heart, they doubted that Jesus wanted to bless these kids. That's what it was really about. They thought that these kids was going to be a burden to the Lord, that they were going to be a nuisance or an inconvenience to the Lord. And so they said, keep the children away. God's not going to want to bless them. And I think we can all admit today that we've all had times in our life, and you probably even know people in your life today that you don't think God's going to save. That you just don't believe He's going to save them for whatever reason. And we don't believe that He will. Why would we ever believe that? If He saved you, why couldn't He save anybody? If He saved me, then He can save anybody there is. But sometimes we look at people and say, God needs to save them, but man, I just don't know. I don't know if that'll happen, or we don't believe God wants to do something. I think in churches sometimes we make excuses up because we think God doesn't really want to bless people. You know God wants to bless us today? You know God wants to move today? God wants to speak to us today. He does. God is more interested in this service today than any of us ever will be. He's more interested in people getting saved than all of us will ever be combined. He is more interested in that today. He's interested in children coming to Him. He's interested in the worst of the worst, the most vilest sinner to come. He's interested in that today, and boy, we ought to be interested in that. We ought to believe He just wants to do it. We ought to come to church today and just believe that God wants to do a work amongst us, because I believe that He does. Amen. I believe I can look at the promises in His Word. I said this morning that He said if we pray for the Holy Ghost that we could have Him. Why don't we just pray for Him and ask Him to come in and move amongst us? We can have those things today. They doubted that Jesus would bless the children. They doubted that Jesus would do anything. And folks, when we believe that, we're in a dangerous place. Because look at what it says. It says that they rebuked those that brought them. And look in verse 14. It says, but when Jesus saw it, He was much displeased. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be the person that Jesus looks at and is much displeased. I don't want our church to be the church that Jesus looks down at and says, I am displeased with what I see going on here. I see a bunch of people that don't believe that I want to bless people. I see a bunch of people that don't believe that I can save people. I see a bunch of people that aren't worried about me and the things of the kingdom. They're worried about the things of this life. I don't want to be a person that displeases the Lord Jesus Christ. That isn't who I want to be. Amen. I want to be someone who looks down on and smiles upon and says, I'm pleased with what I see. I'm pleased that they just put faith in me to do what I said I'd do. And then look at what He goes on to say. Jesus makes some interesting comments here. It says, and He said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Number one, He ordered that the children be brought to Him and not forbidden. And today, what we need to do is not hinder anybody from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to bring them. We need to bring our children. We need to bring our loved ones. Bring them to Him and don't forbid them. No one is unwelcome. Everyone is welcome at Jesus' feet. We bring them to Him and let Him deal with it. Let Him sort it out. And then He said this interesting thing, for of such is the kingdom of God. You know what I believe today? I believe that little children are part of the kingdom of God. I think they're part of the kingdom of God. I think little babies are part of the kingdom of God. I think little children that God has never drawn and never convicted of their sins are part of the kingdom of God. That He looks on them and loves them. He looks on them as the lambs of the flock the little lambs. And we've heard it talked about a lot, and we hear that phrase thrown out, the age of accountability. Y'all ever heard that? I don't know what that age is. I think it's different for everybody. But one thing I do know is that God draws people to Himself, and when He does, they become accountable for their sins. You know, sin ain't sending nobody to hell. Rejecting Jesus is sending people to hell. We all sinners. If sin sent me to hell, I'd still be going there. But rejecting Jesus is what sends people there. And when He draws them to Himself, they become accountable. But I think these little children are precious in His sight. Well, we could go look in the Old Testament and see when David's child died and he said, I can't bring him back, but I can go be with him. And we know where he was going. And we can look at the wicked king who his son died. And God said, your whole family's going to be eaten in the streets by the fowl of the air, but you're going to bury him because God found something good in him. Now, what could God find good in a little kid of a pagan king other than the fact that little kids are part of the kingdom? Amen. They're not accountable for their sins. They list little babies, and they're part of the kingdom. And so when I think about those kids over there. You know what I ain't got to teach my kids too hard to do? They just love Jesus. And they believe in Him. They believe that He can do all things. They sing to Him. We can bring them over here. They'll sing to Him where we'll mumble through songs. Amen. And these kids have it in them to love Him and to know Him. And it's our job to bring them to Him and let them make their own decision. But then look at this. This is really the meat of the message right here in verse 15. It says, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, they will not enter therein. So how do we receive the kingdom of God? How do we get saved? You know what we got to do? We got to become like little children. We've got to become like little children. You know, everything about children, these children were brought to Him. You know what we have to be? We have to be brought to Him. Somebody's got to bring us to Jesus. The Bible says, how shall they hear without a preacher? Somebody's got to bring the gospel to these people. And when we're brought to Him, we've got to learn of Him. And we've got to be obedient to Him, just like little children are. You know, our children are learning, and they're learning from me and you. We're teaching them these things. A child's mind is a blank piece of paper, and we begin to write on it. And we get to, you know, I could tell my kids anything, and they believe it after I start telling them for a little while. I told you before, they used to think that Neverland was south of Plainview because I told them that's where it was. They was scared of Captain Hook, and I threatened to take them down there. They was bad, you know. I told them that's where he lived. And they believe that. Can you believe that? But our kids believe all sorts of things that we tell them. You know what we need to do? We need to be telling them about Jesus and how good He is and how much He loves us. You know, when we were little kids, if you got raised in church, I don't know if you did or not, but I got brought to Bible school and Sunday school. And when I was a little kid, you know what I believed? I believed that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. I believe that. I believe that whale, he stayed in that whale for 3 days and 3 nights, and they spit him up on dry ground. I believe that Moses parted the Red Sea, and the children of Israel walked across on dry ground. I believe that when I was a kid. I believe Jesus walked on water. I believe He turned water into wine. I believe He called Lazarus from the dead. I believe He gave a blind man a sight back. I believed all those things. So did some of you. But sometime along the way, we get too smart for God and we quit believing He can do great things. We quit believing that He can do miraculous, supernatural things amongst us because we get too smart and too big. We need to get back to be little children and just believe that He can do all those things that we believed He could do when we was little kids and come out and say, God can do anything. My kids tell me that from time to time. They say, Daddy, God can do anything. I'm glad they believe that. We need to get back to believing that as well. You know, we got to be brought to... You know what we have to do? We've got to depend on Him. Children depend on their parents. They do. My children depend on us that we're going to go to work and be able to provide for them. And your kids do the same thing. They don't think one thing about them having to carry any of the load. They're depending on you to carry the load. Brother Robert brought devotion this morning on us taking on Jesus' yoke and His burden because it's easy and light. And kids, with their parents, the burden and the yoke is easy and light. They cut the lights on, didn't know how the bills got paid, but the lights are on. They go to the fridge, they're not worried about anything, they're eating the food. Man, life is great. Everything is good. Our parents have unlimited funds and can just get us anything we need. That's how they are. And the burden is light for them. You know what happens to us when we depend on Jesus' work? See, Jesus already did the work. He went and died on the cross for our sins. You know what we got to do? We got to depend on His work. And we sit back in the rest of the fact that He did the work, and man, things get light for us. We're not having to be burdened down with the fact that I've got to work and I've got to earn it and, man, I'm not good enough and all these other things. No, we rest in the fact that Jesus has done the work for us. We rest in His righteousness. We depend on His righteousness for our righteousness. We don't earn it ourselves. We don't get there. But you got to become dependent. And when we grow up, we don't like depending on nobody else. We feel like we've got to do it ourselves. Got to go back to being like a little child. So I'm going to depend on Him. He did the work, and I'm going to rest in that. I'm going to believe in that. You know, when we get saved, you know what we got to do? We got to depend on His wisdom. Hey, some of us sometimes feel like we know more than Him. But we got to be like kids and depend on Him. You know, we was at the fair this week, and one of my kids asked for something, and I said no, and they said, it's only $5. I said, is that all? It's only $5. Let me shell it out for you then, if that's all it is. They got to depend on me to be able to control the wallet and the purse strings, because if it was up to them, they would spend it all. We would be in a mess and all these things. We got to depend on our parents' wisdom to be able to do those things. Well, guess what we got to do with God? We got to just depend on His wisdom. There's a lot of things I would do that would get me in a big mess. But when I find out what God says on it, I just got to depend on Him. He knows what's best. He knows what's right. People question God all the time. I pastor and get to go out and see people and talk to people. And we'll show them what God's Word says. And they'll say, yeah, but. That sounds like my kids. Yeah, but. Don't do that. We've got to depend on God for everything we do. Every decision you make, every step you take, trust God to have the answer. We've got to submit to His authority. Children have to submit to our authority as parents. When we say no, you know what it means? It means no. When we say okay, it means okay. And that's what we've got to do with God. We've got to get under His authority. What did He say? Did He say yes or no? Did He say you can have it or you can't have it? Did He say you can do it or you couldn't do it? And you need to find out what God says. You know, the good news for us is that most all of our decisions God's already laid out for us. I don't have to wonder if I should steal. God already told me I shouldn't. I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry if I should do many things. If I should lie, if I should honor my father and mother, I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry if I should commit adultery or think about that. I don't have to question that because God's already told us in His Word. But there's some things that aren't in His Word. There's some things that we have to pray for. Specific things. Where to go. What to do. What job to take. Who to marry. What church to go to. You know what you need to do? You need to pray to Him. And if you believe, like I said a while ago, that God's big enough to create the sun out of nothing and to hang the earth on nothing. That's what He told Job. He said, Job, where's the strings that are holding the earth in its place? Oh, that's right, you don't know. But we believe that. Believe God's big enough to let you know what you ought to do. Where you ought to go. Things you should do. And you know what you got to do then? You just got to submit to His authority. And say, this is what He wants, and we're going to do it, and we're going to act in obedience to that. The Bible says it's better to obey than to sacrifice. And we need to just obey what God says to do. I love it when my children just listen to me. Well, it's a hard thing, eh? I mean, my goodness, they just want to do their own thing. They think they're so smart. I have to tell them sometimes, I'm smarter than you. You know, God has to say that to us sometimes. I'm smarter than you. I know more than you. I'm eternal. I'm from the beginning and the end. I know all these things. Why won't you listen to me? You know, while we stand here today, it's one thing, but can you imagine standing before God Himself and questioning Him? I can't imagine doing that. I mean, just standing face to face with God and saying, I think I got a better idea. I don't think we would do that. But in the world we live in, we do that all the time. I think I got a better idea than you. I think I've got a better way. You know, we got to trust Him for His care, that He's going to keep us safe. He's going to provide for us, for our path in life. You know where my kids go? They go where I take them. They go where I take them. They go where I send them. They go where I let them go. That's where my children go. They go to the school I want them to go to. They go to friends' house that I want them to go to. They go to the church I want them to go to. And we need to be like that with God. We need to say, God, where do you want me to go? What path do you want me to take? I've told you before, I've often voiced my displeasure with my children coming and getting into bed with us at night. I don't like that. I want to lock the door. Keep them out of here. We have a double bed, and it's not very comfortable when one or two or three children come and get in bed with you at night. But they often say, Avery's the world's worst about doing it, and she'll just say, I feel safe in here. I don't know what she's afraid of, you know. There's nothing to bother her, but she just feels safe when she gets in there with us. And man, we ought to feel safe knowing that God is providing for us, that He's meeting our needs, that He loves us. And he even said, Jesus said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will I give good gifts to you? He loves us, folks, and we ought to trust Him in those things. We've got to become like little children. We've got to do that. You know what Jesus did, too? Look in verse 16. It says, and He took them up in His arms, and He put His hands upon them and blessed them. Now, the parents brought them to Jesus, hoping that He would touch them. And what He did was He took those children up in His arms, He put His hands on them and blessed them. He outdid what they came expecting. And that's what God will do for you today. He will outdo what you expected. I don't know what you expect out of God today, but I promise you He'll outdo it. You know, there's a lot of people fall in love with the wrong ideas. If you fall in love with the idea of church, you're going to be disappointed. Church will disappoint you. People will disappoint you. This won't fulfill you today. If you're here at church today looking for fulfillment, this isn't going to do it. Jesus is the only thing that can fulfill it. And what He will do, though, if you'll come just expecting Him, just looking to Him as the great reward, there's nothing else. It's not even heaven. It's just about Him. You know what He'll do? He'll do more than you could ever ask or think out of Him. He'll meet your needs in ways that you didn't think possible. You'll experience Him in ways that you've never known. You can experience the depths of Jesus Christ today. And I promise you, you'll leave wanting more. You'll leave wanting more. Don't fall in love with the wrong things today. Fall in love with Him. And so here's what we learn from this text today. A couple things. Number one is we need to be like these parents was in bringing people to Jesus. He's the answer to all of our needs. And me and you that know that need to be out bringing people to Him. Whoever we can. However we can, bring people to Him. The disciples discouraged them from coming, and it displeased the Lord. Don't ever be one that discourages people from coming and be a displeasure to the Lord. Number three, become like a little kid. Just be like a little kid with the Lord. Depend on Him for everything. Look for Him for all your strength, all your joy, all your needs, and just trust in Him to do great and wonderful things. And you know what He'll do? He'll do more than you ever thought He could. He'll blow your mind today if you fall in love with Jesus. Are you struggling today with anything? I'm going to tell you the answer. The answer is Him. He might not make the problem go away, but He'll give you rest in it. He'll see you through it, and He'll bring you out in a better place. He is the answer to all of your needs today, Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's stand together and have a verse of invitation this morning. I hope that God spoke to your heart today. If He did, this is an invitation for you to do business with Him and to come and repent and get right with God.